Khalashing for Khalas? Want to bri or fine dine? Stay tuned to High FM on 101.9, Tuesday mornings from 11 a.m. for SN Fresen, where it's all about the food.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, listeners, and everybody else who's tuned in for today's episode of SN Fresen. We're talking one of my favorite topics, breakfast and brunch. For me, breakfast can be an all-day event. My favorite food all wrapped up into one meal. In fact, I read something so funny the other day by Stephen Wright, who said, "I went to a restaurant that serves breakfast at any time, so I ordered French toast during the Renaissance." And on that note, I'm going to dive straight in and talk about a bit of the healthy aspect of breakfast and what's right, what's wrong, to listen to our bodies. And I'm going to ask Laurie Isero, dietitian in Johannesburg. Welcome, Laurie, to our show.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So I know you're a registered dietitian, and I know you, on the healthy side, you're telling moms what to pack for school lunches often. We've had lots of conversations about that, and you've been a guest on my show before. So I just thought to talk a bit about breakfast, the benefits. Is it a myth to eat in the morning? Does it fuel you for the day? All those things that we all think about and maybe are too scared to ask. So where should we start?
Great. So I completely agree with you. Breakfast is my favorite meal of the day as well. I can also eat breakfast all day. Maybe if we should start with why breakfast is even important.
Yes.
I think that so many of us remember our moms from little saying breakfast is the most important meal of the day.
For sure. For sure.
I also think we all remember rolling our eyes when our mom said that. And now I think as moms, we're all saying the same thing to our kids.
So you do agree with that as a concept?
It definitely is the most important meal of the day. Like when you just look at the word in itself, breakfast, which is breaking the fast, mm-hmm. which is breaking that fasting period from the night before, it really does help us fuel our body for the day, which really is the purpose of why we eat.
Sure. Well, it should be.
So
a lot of us eat for other reasons.
Exactly. But the main reason really should be for that body fuel and to ensure that we give our body the correct breakfast.
Yes.
To provide the correct fuel for the day.
Sure. So when we say, let's start it with the timing. Breakfast can be at different times for different people. Obviously, school-going age is a very different phenomenon to people on the work beat, you know, who are rushing in the morning. So, but I think ingraining some kind of healthy eating in the morning can be of benefit to last you into your adult years, that kind of discipline.
Definitely. I think it's all about routine and all about ensuring that if we do the same thing over and over, it does become almost a habit, which then we program our brain to do that. And the consistency really is key.
And like a healthy breakfast in your eyes, or what would you advise your clients? What would you say to them, your patients?
So I think the most important thing is to actually, well, when we're talking about our children and ourselves, I think the most important thing is to give breakfast something that you want to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So even though if we were all textbooks and the idea, for example, could be whole grain toast with eggs and avo, ensuring that we've got good quality carbohydrates from the whole grain bread, we've got protein from the eggs, we've got avo for some healthy fats, we're ensuring that that fiber is there for the whole grain bread. So let's say that could be, in our eyes, in inverted commas, an ideal breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If someone hates eggs and hates avo,
yes,
it's really more important to make sure that you're eating breakfast.
For sure.
I think that's the key. The key is to say, well, what do you enjoy? What are you able to eat at that time of the day?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's always a great starting point. So as I say, that quality carbohydrate, protein, healthy fat, fiber, where possible, we really want to try get that balance.
Okay. And quantity-wise?
Quantity-wise, I think we need to ensure that we're eating the most important thing, eating until we're full.
Okay.
And actually being mindful of where that point is.
Okay.
And also ensuring that we're including protein to help with that feeling of satiety going forward, that we're not hungry 5 minutes later.
Mm-hmm. And what is your take on the intermittent fasting story?
So I think intermittent fasting is our fad diet of the moment.
Okay.
I think that what happens is, so with intermittent fasting, you fast for a period of time and then you only eat in a certain period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And although there is very limited research and results showing that it can improve insulin sensitivity and it can support weight loss, it's really about staying with intermittent fasting. We're cutting down the amount of calories that we're eating during the day.
Okay.
So that is where the benefit of that weight loss comes in. It's really that we're just eating less. So it comes down to, well, if you do choose to intermittent fast, and yes, that's fine as long as you're doing it in a controlled way and you've researched into it, preferably with a registered dietitian who can guide you. We need to make sure that during those times of eating, we're eating good quality food. We are not going from fasting to copious amounts of junk and calories.
Okay. Laurie, stay on the line. I'm just going to have a little ad break and then we're going to wrap up with you.
This is SN Fresen. It's all about the food.
We're back talking breakfast, talking brunch, and I'm with special guest, registered dietitian Laurie Isereau. Welcome back, Laurie. I know you're on a time constraint, so we're going to wrap up. So in short, you do go with the premise of a healthy breakfast fuels you for the day.
Definitely. The breakfast really is the key to a good day. And just as you can't pour from an empty cup, you really can't think clearly on an empty stomach. Sure that we have a good quality breakfast to start our day, to get us on a good footing and give us the energy that our body needs to function at its optimum.
Great. And just, is there, I know there's no rules, but your break kind of between breakfast and a mid-morning snack, is there a time period that we should work on? You know, what's too soon, what's too late? Are there rules or are there things that we should go on?
Well, I think it's important to look at each person's day individually, and we want breakfast, lunch and supper properly spaced throughout the day. So if we call it 7-1-7, and then we want those snacks as in the middle of those two meals as possible,
okay,
just that we can sustain our blood sugar levels between the day. So first break, that 10 past 10 time, that's always a great time for mid-morning snack, provided that you have eaten breakfast mm-hmm. in the early morning.
Okay.
And then mid-afternoon snack again, around about 3-4 o'clock is always a great time to just ensure that we are keeping our blood sugar sustained throughout the day. That's really our aim.
Great. So I learned something here. 717. That's something good to remember. That's great. Thank you for your time. Thank you for starting us off on our program, talking about breakfast and brunch. I'm going to carry on and good luck with the rest of your day.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks, always. We're talking breakfast. So I'm going to start off with One Health, and you all know how I love the carbs and I love the chocolate and I love the breads, but one thing I do have in the morning is I always have something healthy to drink. I could be eating something terrible by 10 o'clock, but in the morning I always start off with ginger water or lemon water or something just to clear out your system and just give you a fresh start to the day. So one of my favorite drinks is some hot water, some sliced ginger, a stick of cinnamon, and I love the stick of cinnamon with a little dash of ground cinnamon. If you can bear it, a half a teaspoon of ground turmeric goes a very long way with starting your day. And I can add some mint to that. If you want something on the sweeter edge, add a teaspoon of honey or just a squeeze of honey. But hot water, ginger, lemon, cinnamon, turmeric, that's my start almost every day when I start off my day. And as I say, I don't profess to be the healthiest and I'm always nushing, but I just love that fresh hot water feeling in the morning. That's the first thing that I have. So while we're talking breakfast, we're talking staples, we're talking brunch, I'm going to share with you my easiest crumpet recipe. Quick for a Sunday morning, quick for during the holidays. Here it is. A cup of flour, a teaspoon of baking powder, a pinch of salt, always a pinch of salt, a tablespoon of sugar, one beaten egg, and a half to three quarter cup milk. So in one bowl, I sift my dry ingredients. I add in the beaten egg and milk. In fact, my cheat version, I don't even beat it separately. I just throw it all into one bowl. I love one bowl cooking and baking. Mix all of that to form a smooth batter that will be easy to drop into the pan. So make sure it's smooth, and the texture you'll have to work out yourself, and just feel that the texture's right, that you could be able to drop a spoonful into a greased pan. So if you're going for a delicious version, you can use a little bit of butter, just spread over the bottom of a pan just to grease it very lightly. Or you can use olive oil, or you can use a canola oil, or any other oil that you fancy. I prefer the butter. It adds a richness to the pancake. Drop a spoonful of your mixture onto the greased pan, so you can put three or four in one time. Turn over as the bubbles start appearing, so just flip very quickly and cook until lightly browned. And there you have delicious crumpets for any morning of the week. And your toppings, you can be inventive. I love a sweet crumpet with something savory, so even salmon, cream cheese, some griddled zucchini with some roast tomatoes and a little bit of pesto is delicious. I love the combination of a sweet and the savory. But traditional, you can have some whipped cream, some jam, whatever tickles your fancy. Kids often just love it with grated cheese. So grated cheese and crumpets was always a staple in my home when my kids were growing up. We have beautiful memories of going to my in-laws and always having crumpets with grated cheese. I think that was also because I didn't always allow yellow cheese in my house, and we always had mozzarella or white cheese, and they just simply loved the yellow cheese that you could always get at Nana's house. Another easy recipe to make pancakes, and of course we all know the difference. The pancake is a thinner version, but you can even use the crumpet recipe and thin it out if you wish. But here's a very easy pancake recipe to get you going for the holidays and for your weekends. A cup of milk, a full cup of milk, 250 mils, 125 mils of tepid water, which is half a cup, two large eggs, 250 grams of cake flour, which is one cup, a pinch of salt, a teaspoon each of baking powder and sugar. And again, the sugar, you can supplement it with honey or date honey or whatever you want, and 12 and a half mils of melted margarine, which is one heaped tablespoon. So to make your pancakes, pour the milk and water into a bowl, break in your eggs and whisk until very frothy. I add in the sifted dry ingredients, add the sugar and continue to beat until smooth. And lastly, add the melted margarine. You can then heat a heavy bottomed frying pan, lightly grease it with margarine or butter, your choice. My choice is always to go for the butter, as you know. Pour a thin layer of batter into the pan and just tilt the pan from side to side to distribute the batter very evenly. Fry to a delicate light brown on both sides. There you have delicious pancakes. Sprinkle with a mixture of sugar and cinnamon and serve with melted butter, syrup and a wedge of lemon. Again, I love savory pancakes, so you can make a feta spinach filling. You can make salmon and cream cheese, even tuna mixed with cream cheese, some chopped pickles, some chopped tomato, some red onion, roll the mixture into a pancake, put it in a baking dish, a little bit of grated mozzarella or parmesan on the top, a dash of cream or Napolitana, and there you have a beautiful crepe dish. So that's essentially the difference between our pancakes and our crumpets. And again, if you want to forgo the gluten, you can use almond flour or oat flour. It really works perfectly with both. And there you have a beautiful, easy recipe.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
You're back. We're talking breakfast. We're talking brunch. We're getting hungry as we're speaking. And we've shared some recipes on pancakes, on some crumpets. I've given some ideas for savory fillings, for sweet fillings. And we've heard from Laurie Isereau how important breakfast really is. So what we heard when we were young is true. Have your breakfast. It fuels you for the day. And on that note, I'm going to be joined by Alex Feltman. Welcome, Alex.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. How are you doing?
Good, and you?
Good.
So Alex is part of the family that is behind the Bakehouse, which many of us in Johannesburg are lucky enough to frequent for delicious, my favorite, I have to say, the almond croissants. There's nothing better. Fresh, hot, out the oven. That's my best moment is tucking into one of your delicious croissants. So tell us about your new venture, firstly.
Thank you. So our new venture doesn't feel so new for all
sure,
of us.
For sure, for sure.
It's been like a few year long dream to get there. And part of that dream was, like you said, talking about the croissants of the, took us about a year or so to get them right. And we We are now in, so we've just opened our store in Linksville, for those of you who don't know. And it's been about 12 weeks or so, and we are learning a fortune. Every day we're learning, every day we're trying, every day we
For
just
sure, it's all a
try to
process.
keep up. 100%, 100%.
And you're saying you've now perfected your croissants. So, what is the secret of that delicious lightness that you feel when you tuck in, you bite into that croissant? What is that? What is that? What is the secret?
I think the secret is just pure utter hard work, to be quite honest, and absolute passion for what we do. I mean, the whole process took us about probably about between a year and a year and a half to get right. And us being the perfectionists that we are, we actually still not like we're still not 100% happy with it, and we're still working on it and adjusting and always trying. But I mean, for perspective, I mean, we tried about, I think it was eight different butters,
Wow.
about eight, 9 different flour ratios to find the right stuff. Like it took a very, very long time, and tedious, and learning the nuances and understanding every detail matters. Like it's not a the if you miss out on one thing, it'll go
Wow.
wrong. And so it's made us completely neurotic, but we absolutely love it. And like you said, it's worth it once you take that out of
For
the croissant
sure.
and you bite into
For sure.
it. It's just something special.
So the croissants, talk to me about a storage and are they supposed to be eaten fresh on the day? Can you keep them for the next day? And what's the best way to store them?
So for us, actually, we bake everything on the day, and then whatever you get is freshly baked on that day. So we don't actually use any stock that's left over from the day before. But what we do suggest is putting them in the fridge, actually. So it actually kind of keeps it quite nice. And like, for example, on a Shabbos, I always take my croissants home and I'll put them in the fridge, and it actually works quite well.
And you take them out the next morning.
Yes,
How long
exactly.
before you eat them?
I take them out immediately, and we just start eating them every Shabbos morning. It's the best. Listen, it's still not going to beat freshly out the
For
oven,
sure, but I'm asking the question
but
because
it's
of Shabbos,
definitely
and often
correct.
people have a very early morning something on a Sunday and they want to get it the day before, or the night before, whatever, or
For
during the.
sure.
So I'm just asking those questions. I know for myself also, I always wonder
100%.
how to store something like that and what's the best way to
For
store
sure.
it. Wow.
For sure, and funnily enough, we've just launched like a frozen to oven kind of a product that you can order. You get them frozen. You take out your croissants the night before. You let them rise overnight, and then you bake them in the morning. And then you have a fresh croissant that morning, and you
That's
keep
the
them in the
best
freezer
thing
until
I've
you want
ever
them.
heard. That is just too delicious. Wow. Hot, fresh croissants. There's nothing better. And
100%.
do you experiment with different fillings? Are you kind of settled with the recipes you, or do you keep on coming up with new ideas?
So we keep on searching for new ideas, different shapes, different feels, different flavors, constantly. It doesn't actually stop. And to stay in that innovative space, as I'm sure you know, it can be quite exhausting, and
For
it's quite
sure.
hard. To keep on and nobody is as hard on ourselves as us.
For sure. Well,
And we always want to
your
keep it
perfection
different.
comes through in every morsel, I can assure you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate
And what's your personal
that.
favorite?
So I'm quite an obsessive personality, as I'm sure you can hear. But I go through like I just go through it goes in circles. So it's the chocolate croissant, and then I can't stop eating them. And then now, right now, I'm onto the almond croissant again. And then I went back to the chocolate croissant. It's just a cycle. But I think at the moment, I would say the almond croissants for sure.
For sure, they're the winner. And you know, often I think when you think about a taste, it's the memory of a taste that evokes emotion and evokes that feeling in you. So you can not be eating something and you can be thinking about it and you don't remember the exact taste, but you remember the emotion that you experienced, the feeling, the taste when you did eat it. And I think that's the key also of creating experiences for people.
For sure, 100%. And the truth is, when people come tell me that they don't need to go to Israel for a croissant anymore, like it makes me happy. Like
For sure.
it's just It just feeds my soul. Food feeds us Jewish souls.
Yeah.
It feeds everything.
And so, I say, with everything going on in the world and all our troubles and trials and tribulations, food is of such comfort, and the nuances, 100%. The tastes, the pleasures. It offers small pleasures, you know, at a time.
Sure.
And it counts for so much. And tell us about Linksfield. It's going well.
So it's going well, thank God. It's going great. We've been busy, and it took us a while, a long time to get the recipes right for our food aspect, because we haven't really done savory before. So it took us about a good 3 months to work on everything, and we absolutely love it, and we love it every day. And we go That's there. Amazing. I'm excited to go there every day.
I get you, because I always say, people say, do you still love what you do? And I say, I love what I do every day. We're very lucky.
It's not always easy, but we definitely love it.
For
and
sure.
If you don't love it, you can't do it.
For sure.
It's as simple as that.
For sure.
So I wouldn't change anything.
And are there, do you see patterns of what people are ordering? Are there some things that are definitely more popular than other? Give us some examples of what you can see that people are ordering again and again.
For sure. So, I mean, there's like a few dishes that are just, doing them all day, every day. There's like, we have like an Avo stack that's got a rocket, Avo, feta, a chili crunch, and poached egg.
Yum.
On the shea butter, and people absolutely love it. And then we have like a breakfast, like an egg your way, so you kind of pick your eggs and you pick a few toppings and you pick your bread.
Mm-hmm.
And again, people absolutely love it, and the beauty of it is, because they're coming to us, you can get a croissant with it, you can get whatever you want, and it's just, we just love the food and we want you to love it too,
for sure.
That's kind of what it is.
Great. Well, good luck with everything
Thank
going
you.
Forward, and we're looking forward
Thank
to
so
some
much.
New tastes and some new fillings. We'll see you along the way.
Sure. And thank you for having me.
Thanks. That was Alex Veltman of the Family Bakehouse. As you heard, they now have a delicious range of frozen, ready for the oven croissants, that's definitely my next step. Thank you for joining us.
This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking breakfast, we're talking brunch. We've listened to Alex Feltman from the Bakehouse, and he's made my tummy rumble thinking about his delicious almond croissants. We've spoken about fueling your body for the day with a healthy breakfast. Before I talk to my next guest, I'm going to share with you three quick and easy recipes that are kind of staples in my household for a Sunday morning. So I think for me, a table has to have, I love a mixture of big and small items. So big, grand, bold statements, and then some little tasty delicacies to fill the gap. So small items give the feel that you've made an effort, that you've put time and trouble into something intricate to work out. But one of the quick and easy things is, you can just take white yogurt, you can flavor it with some strawberry, or you can do a layer of white yogurt or strawberry yogurt, put some chia seeds in between, top it with some roasted strawberries. I roast my strawberries in a saucepan just with a little bit of balsamic and black pepper. I love that sense of roasted strawberries. And you top it and you fill it up in little glasses, so you see your layers of color through a glass. You top it with some strawberries. You've got your chia seeds in between. And people think you've made such an effort. Even for a family, even for your own family, it's just nice to sometimes do something special. Good old oats, for sure, is one of the most staples in a family breakfast. Not boring when you know how to use them either. Oats are packed with fiber, keep hunger away, and don't spike your blood sugar. So a healthy alternative. So what one recipe that I love to do is to make oats in a pan, in a saucepan on the stove, and add some fruit to it. I love that combination. So for the oats, simply take some steel-cut oats. I love using fresh milk. Mix it together on your stovetop. You can add a little bit of maple syrup or honey, whichever tickles your fancy and whichever you prefer. And once you've got a beautiful consistency of your oats, place it in the bowls and top it with some fruit. So we're in winter now. I love taking their nectarines available, their peaches, guavas. Again, I put it on a baking sheet in the oven with some balsamic, with a touch of brown sugar or some maple syrup or date honey, whatever you have in your pantry. Roast the fruit till beautiful and golden and just crispy on the edges, and top that on your oats. And there you have another, a beautiful, healthy dish. Another quick dish is my egg bake, which, you know, I love one pot dishes. So I love taking a big, like a Le Creuset or a pewter dish, whatever you have available. I always use baking paper, and I love the look of something being served with baking paper or brown paper sticking out the edges. So I always use baking paper and use it as part of my display and as part of my presentation. So you can take your big Corningware or whatever you have, a big dish. Preheat your oven to about 180. Lightly grease the bottom of your dish, or as I say, I always use baking paper. Crack your eggs in, just like that. Check them, crack them in, spacing them out. And then chop some olives, tomatoes, red onion, feta, and parsley. Place that all around the eggs, all in between. Sprinkle with just a little bit of sumac, a sprinkling of black pepper. And there, bake them in the oven for about 20 minutes, 18 to 20 minutes, until the eggs are cooked to your desired doneness. And then serve them just like they are with some toasted pita, and there you have another delicious egg breakfast. If you want the yolks a bit runnier, you can start checking the eggs a bit earlier. We love ours a bit on the medium side, so there you go. Add a dash of chili flakes or harissa or delicious onion crunch, even just a little bit of onion crunch or chili crunch. There's so many available, you don't even have to make your own anymore. They're readily available, and there you have the most delicious, easy breakfast with some toast and some toasted pita. For pita, even stale pita that I have, I always toast them. A little bit of za'atar and olive oil goes a long way on some pita. Toast them on baking paper and keep them sealed in an airtight bag, and there you always have delicious crunchy pita toast to have with your breakfast. So while we're talking breakfast, I'm going to switch to Chef Keldon. Welcome to our show, Keldon Strimling.
Thank you very much, Dee.
Thanks for being with us. We're talking breakfast. So tell us, as a chef, we have all these stories about what chefs really eat. What's your favorite breakfast?
So what I really enjoy, especially on your topic of oats, is with the leftover oats and turning them into pancakes the next day. So basically a very simple recipe, your leftover oats, or 1 cup of your cooked leftover oats, a teaspoon of all-purpose flour, okay, a teaspoon of granulated sugar, and or you could use either sweetener or honey, whichever preference you prefer, a teaspoon of melted butter, a dash of vanilla extract, and 1 egg, and turns into a really delicious and healthy pancake recipe.
Wow, that sounds too delicious. I'm definitely going to try that. And we all have leftover oats. I know they always sit. It always sits in the pot on the stove, and then we end up 100%. Kind of skimming it around and throwing it away.
Definitely. So it really works as an all-purpose flour and a very healthy alternative to your normal flour.
And oats really is a healthy breakfast option. It keeps your blood sugar stable. It avoids those hunger pangs later in the morning. I even sometimes when I come home late at night, and if I am hungry, I often turn to a bowl of oats. I don't know if you do that, definitely. But I love that.
And it's high in protein. It's really high in protein as well. So it definitely sorts you out for the day.
Sure. So in your meanderings across South Africa and all your chefing everywhere, are there trends in breakfast? What do you see? Do people still love traditional? I know for me, Eggs Benedict is always my favorite, obviously minus the bacon, but I always have Eggs Benedict with a bit of salmon or avo. It's my total best thing in the whole world. So do you see trends in breakfast, or have things changed, or is it just much of the same?
So definitely there are changes with alternatives, with more people moving more over to the sourdoughs and your oatmeal. So the healthy alternatives, but breakfasts, you can't really have a breakfast without eggs and oats mm-hmm. in the morning. So I think that's it's a very common breakfast for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And talk to me about winter fruit. Are there other things that you suggest doing with winter fruit when the fruit isn't, we don't have the mangoes and the cherries and the delicious flavors of summer? Like, as I said, I often roast fruit. Are there any other ideas you have for that?
Definitely poaching your apples and your pears. You can also make very lovely fruit compotes with the fruits that are not ripe and ready to serve, or maybe they're not as sweet as you'd like them. So being able to turn them into maybe a fruit jam or compote and utilizing what you have.
Great. Stay on the line, Keldon. I'm just going to read a quick ad. Attention small business owners, boost your brand with an unbeatable advertising deal on 101.9 Chai FM. Get 5 ads per day for 5 days for just 5,000 Rand. This stimulus campaign is perfect for businesses looking to make a splash. Don't miss out on this exclusive opportunity to reach your audience and grow your business. Interested? Email info@chaifm.com or text 061-895-1019 today.
Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I'm Ilan from SundryMed, your friendly local medical supply company. This month, our super special is 2-ply toilet paper, 18 rolls, only 90 Rand. Plus, we have the best prices on a wide range of burn shield, tissues, blue gloves, wound care, adult pull-ups, bandages, plasters, face masks, and everything first aid. See you at SundryMed, bottom floor, Genesis Shopping Center.
Each of us is on life's journey. Thank you for letting Chai FM provide the soundtrack to your life. Chai FM, 101.9 megahertz of life. Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking breakfast. I have Chef Keldon Strimling on the line with me, and we're talking about his breakfast staples and favorites. So we're talking about different breads. So you're saying that you see a shift to sourdoughs and rye. I know it's hard to get a genuine rye in South Africa. Keldon, you there?
Yeah, definitely. Yep, definitely. I think it has to do a lot with the type of bakeries that we have around as well. People are tending to use a lot of pre-made sourdough starters and things like that. So if you can find a really good bakery that produces really nice fresh breads, that's always a winner.
And toast, of course, you can always use as with your leftover breads. But I find that the rye and the sourdough definitely lasts longer. If you store it correctly, it definitely lasts longer than your regular breads.
Definitely. The shelf life does last a little bit longer because of the natural starters.
For sure. And what's your favorite bread of the day?
So I still enjoy the chia butters, your very soft and warm breads that go really nice with soups, your focaccias. And yeah, I think a focaccia is always a winner as well. It's a very easy bread to prep, and there's a lot of different flavors and toppings that can go with it.
I always say you can use any kind of bread recipe that's easy, and there's so many ones that just use packet yeast, and you can put salt and rosemary or pitted olives, tomato, onion. I love red onion. In fact, I've been doing caramelized onion a lot. I've been making breads and just twisting caramelized onion through, and it just gives it such a delicious flavor when you slice it through.
Definitely. Breads are so versatile. I mean, you could really add anything into it.
The other thing that I find is also easy for breakfast and brunches is a puff pastry, and we have good quality puff pastries available if you don't want to make your own. But what I find often is just to take a puff pastry, roll it out on a board, a little bit of butter or olive oil, and then just top it with chopped tomatoes, some torn parsley, basil, feta, ricotta. I love actually mixing feta and ricotta together, and you can either just put it on a sheet of the puff pastry on a baking sheet in your oven, or what I've been doing is putting all those elements on and rolling it up and then slicing it through. So you almost get like a little spiral. Brush it with some butter or olive oil, bake it, and there you have something delicious to accompany a breakfast.
Definitely. It's so versatile. All you need is a little bit of creativity and you've got a winning recipe.
Yeah. So another thing that I saw, which I just love, and I love doing this actually on my harvest tables, but I love fruit with cheese. So I think it's such a beautiful combination. So feta, watermelon, any other melon, some strawberries, and you can make a checkerboard effect on a board. It looks so impressive. So you cut everything into squares and just fill a beautiful platter. a little bit of ground black pepper and a splash of a drop of olive oil and some balsamic. And there you have a beautiful board that's got the white, the red, the yellow. And it just looks so impressive. It looks like you've made such an effort. And it is a little bit of an effort, but just such an easy breakfast addition. I love the combination of the feta with the watermelon, a little bit of torn mint, and then some crusty bread. Nothing better.
Definitely. And I think that's where your leftover fruits and preserves will come nicely into play as well.
For sure. So off the top of your head, can you share with our listeners just an easy compote? You do it on a stovetop. What do you add? Your cinnamon, your syrup? Give us some handy hints there, Kelden.
Definitely. So in a nice saucepan, you could take whatever leftover fruits you have, either if it's either your melons or your berries, apples, pears. You could even make a combination of them. And then just let it slowly simmer in about a cup of water. I would say 1 cup of water to 1 cup of your fruit. Let it simmer down. You can either add your sugar, sweetener, or syrups, whichever flavors you like. And then you can also add in your savory notes as well, if you want to add a bit of thyme, if you want to add a bit of black pepper.
Oh, that's a delicious idea.
Rosemary, definitely. So, yeah, that would be my top.
Sounds yum. Thank you for sharing with me today on this show. And we'll see you soon. Thanks, Chef Kelden Strimling.
Thank you very much for having me.
Khalashing for khalas? Want to braai or fine dine? This is Essen Fressen. It's all about the food.
We're talking breakfast. We're talking delicious flavors, some new ideas. I love the idea of Chef Kelden's fruit compote, but with a bit of savory. So some thyme, even a bit of basil, I think would work, and some black pepper. I love the combination of black pepper and balsamic with some fruit. And as you know, I said I love the watermelon and feta side of things. But I just want to share with you a beautiful little anecdote that I found on Instagram, on the Humans of Judaism little Instagram page. It's not my story, but I'm going to read it. I just felt it was so poignant, especially at this time in our lives. At the supermarket today, I found a small elderly woman standing in front of a high shelf holding the Bon Maman US preserves. She was having trouble finding the flavor she wanted because the jars were set back on the shelf. She couldn't read the labels. She could barely reach them. I offered to help. After I handed her the raspberry preserve, she thanked me, paused, and asked, "Do you know why I buy this brand?" I laughed and replied, "Because it tastes so good." "Yes, it tastes good." She paused again. "I'm a Holocaust survivor." This was not a conversation I was expecting on a Sunday grocery run. During the war, the family that owns the company hid my family in Paris, so now I always buy it. And whenever I go to the store, my grandkids remind me, "Bobby, don't forget to buy the jelly." I told her that was the best reason I ever heard to buy any company's product. Someone else on Twitter looked into the story, and indeed, the town that Andros Company, the makers of Bon Maman, comes from, hid and saved Jewish families in World War II. It was called Bir Susser, which then had about 800 villages. From an article, you have to understand what it was like then. There were posters on the wall from the Nazis and from the collaborators, and they said if you were found to help a Jew, a Freemason, a communist, a socialist, or a pervert, you will be shot on sight. Despite the great danger in which helping them put the villagers in, they kept the children safe. That's a good reason to buy Bon Maman products, and a poignant reminder that when we look out for each other, it can change lives, and that there are good and selfless people in the world. So that was just a beautiful little anecdote that I saw on the Humans of Judaism Instagram page. Before we wrap up, no breakfast show can ever be complete without a banana bread. So I'm going to share with you two different recipes. I think I have shared other ones on the programs before, but here we go. Two very easy banana bread ingredients. Three ripe or slightly overripe bananas, and there you go, no wastage. You can keep all your ripe bananas and use them for your banana bread. 2 eggs, 250 grams of cake flour, which is a full cup, 200 grams of sugar, which is just under a cup, 150 grams of butter. If you want to make the purée version, you can use a purée of margarine. I tend to make a lot of purée of banana breads. 2 teaspoons of baking powder and a pinch of salt. If your bananas aren't ripe yet, you can place them in a brown bag overnight and they will soften. Use a hand beater to beat your bananas. In fact, a couple of lumpy bits make the bread even tastier. Doesn't bother me at all. Mix in your sugar, butter, and eggs. In a separate bowl, combine your flour, baking powder, and of course add your pinch of salt. Slowly add the dry ingredients to the wet ingredients while mixing at a very slow and gentle speed. Pour the batter into a loaf tin and bake at 180 for about 45 to 50 minutes. Best eaten, of course, with a generous blob of butter or cheese or whatever tickles your fancy. One of the things that people often ask is why? What is the number one mistake when making banana bread? And for sure, it's over mixing the batter. For soft and tender banana bread, always gently stir the wet ingredients into the dry. Don't over mix. The more you stir, the more gluten will develop. The result will be tough and rubbery. So rather, keep at a slow pace, enjoy the process, and simply stir until moist and do no more. So there you go. And again, you can line it with your baking paper and serve it in your baking paper on a board, beautiful for a Sunday morning or any other morning. In fact, if your banana bread gets a bit stale, easy to toast and so delicious with melted butter. I'm also going to share my banana muffin recipe. Again, you can substitute any of the ingredients. And in fact, if you don't want flour, you can always use almond flour or oat flour. It all works just as well. So here we've got 3 large ripe bananas, 3 large eggs, 1/2 cup of almond milk or full cream milk or whatever you wish. I love chopping in 4 to 6 very small pieces of pitted dates, 1/2 cup of melted coconut oil. You can add 2 heaped tablespoons of chia seeds, 1 cup of almond flour, 1 dash of potato starch or potato flour, some coconut sugar, which is readily available at supermarkets or Dis-Chems or wherever you are shopping, 1 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1 teaspoon of baking powder, and 1/2 teaspoon of bicarb of soda. Blend all in a food processor. And for this recipe, it really, you can separate your wet and your dry ingredients, but this recipe is actually easier to mix all together. Your dry ingredients have all been whisked together separately, and then you're adding them all in. So it's a one bowl kind of experience. Mixed together in a food processor or by hand. I generally use this recipe by hand. It makes about 12 muffins or 1 loaf tin. So you can pour your mixture into a muffin tray and bake at 180 for about 15 minutes. You can get beautiful muffin cups, the brown paper cups, and you can use it as presented, just like that. Always delicious. So what is a breakfast without banana bread? And again, if you don't want the bananas, you can use that recipe and substitute it. I love doing also just Dayton walnut muffins or apple muffins. So delicious. And there are so many delicious apple varieties available today. So we almost come to the end of the show. I'm going to leave you with one thought until the next time. And of course, it's from Winnie the Pooh. "When you wake up in the morning, Pooh," said Piglet at last, "what's the first thing you say to yourself?" "What's for breakfast?" said Pooh. "What do you say, Piglet?" "I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today," said Piglet. Pooh nodded thoughtfully. "It's the same thing," he said. So there we go. I'll leave you with those beautiful thoughts from Winnie the Pooh. Enjoy your breakfast, enjoy your brunch. Happy cooking, happy baking, and see you all on the next show, or listen to you all on the next show. Thanks so much for sharing with me, Dolores Fochet of Food by Flavors.